Well, good morning, Vintage Church, and happy New Year's Eve. Belated Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you had a great holiday season with your family, and we thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. If you're new here, we also want to welcome you. I know we might have a lot of guests, from family guests, and some people here may be checking us for the first time, and so if that's you, thank you. If you are new and visiting and don't have a church family entering 2018, we invite you to stick six. That's our way of saying try us out for 6 weeks, get to know us, who we are, what we believe, how we worship, and maybe even check out a community group. And we believe that if you do that, you will found a church home, a church that loves you and where you're safe to investigate your faith in Christ. For those who do not know me, my name is David Mobley, and I'm blessed with the privilege to serve as the service director here at Vintage Church. On a week in and week out basis, I get to see all the folks that serve here, ranging from setup and teardown teams to the band, to production, hospitality, greeting and cafe kids, and more. And so before we get into today's message, I wanted to personally thank all the volunteers that have served in 2017. We literally could not do it without you. On a given week, it takes 35 to 40 volunteers to do everything that we do on a Sunday. So thank you for that. And if you haven't had an opportunity to serve here at Vintage, I really encourage you to check out that as an opportunity for two reasons. One, it's a great way to get to meet other folks here at Vintage. And secondly, it's a great way to get on board with the mission of Vintage, which is to know, live, and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That idea of knowing and living and advancing the gospel is the basis for our passage today, where we find a Pharisee, an expert in the Old Testament Jewish law, asking Jesus what the most important question is. The most important commandment is. In 2016, we spent all year focusing on knowing the gospel. In this past year, we spent a lot of time in 1 and 2 Corinthians examining what it means to live the gospel. If you're new here and haven't had a chance to listen to all the sermons, I encourage you to visit our website or even download our app, where you can find an archive of all of our sermons where you can get caught up. But today I want to investigate what it looks like to practically advance the gospel in light of the new year. So first, let's pray, and then we'll jump back into today's passage. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And I pray that you would open our ears, minds, and hearts to hear from you today and not from me. Stir our hearts as we prepare for a new year, one in which we would look forward in anticipation to advancing the gospel in the triangle by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen. So as you saw earlier today, we are in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. If you don't have a Bible, the passage will be displayed on the screen behind me, but we would encourage you to take one of these on your way out. They can be found at the info table. Even if you do have a Bible, we encourage you to take one and give it to someone in your life that may not have one that would certainly benefit from having it. But let's read together, if you will. But when the Pharisees heard that he, being Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind, soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Oftentimes, we don't like to relate ourselves to the Pharisees, as we consider them the group that challenged Jesus, betrayed Jesus, and ultimately crucified him on the cross. But I believe that we're a little more like the Pharisees than we like to admit. And I think that especially is true in light of the New Year's resolution time period. And I know that's a big claim. I know we may not like to hear that. So let's investigate together. The Pharisee asking which is the greatest commandment in the law seems to echo the intent when we ask, what's the most impactful thing or change that I can do going into the new year? And that's a question we all ask ourselves during this season. New Year's resolutions are comprised of so many things, typically diet, exercise, work-life balance, or even changing behaviors. But for many, if not all, doubters, seekers, and followers of Jesus, the question of becoming a better person hits every spectrum of our life, including the spiritual journey, whether we realize it or not. It appears that the Pharisee is asking a legit question. What's the one thing that I can do to ensure that I'm good? If I do this one thing, what secures my identity, my standing with others, my salvation even? What can I do, Jesus? Can you and I relate to the Pharisees today? I know that I can. What can I do differently or better in 2018, at least from a spiritual perspective today? I mean, honestly, I can see a desperate look in the Pharisees' eyes as he approaches Jesus to ask this question. The Pharisees and I have tried everything. We've tried different reading plans, praying methodologies, reading books, reading novels, serving more, serving less, changing behaviors. The list goes on. As 2018 comes, what if I read the Bible? What if I prayed? What if I prayed more? What if I woke up 2 hours earlier every single day to ensure that it got done? Have we all had those thoughts cross through our mind? What if I serve at church? I mean, hopefully once a month is enough, but does it need to be two? Does it need to be three? Does it need to be four? What if I'm more patient with others? What if I worked on gossiping less? Perhaps I could be more generous? The list goes on and on. Do you relate? I know I do. Luckily, Jesus gives us an answer, and it's just one answer. I mean, if you were to go through the Old Testament, you could pick out the hundreds, if not thousands, of laws that Jesus could present to the Pharisees when they asked this question. And what's his answer? Love. Jesus' answer, which he also says all other laws are hinged on, is to first love the Lord our God with all our soul and mind, and the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. At first glance, this is great New Year's resolution news. Jesus has just revealed the two things that we can do to ensure that 2018 is a success. Start the parade, drop the self-help books, the podcast, the barbell, and the treadmill even. I should get a hallelujah from some of you in this room with your New Year's resolutions going forward. And just love others. Although if we step back a minute and truly consider how well I have loved God and others as much as myself, let alone more than myself, how well have we done in the past minute, hour, day, week, month, year, and duration of our life? In preparation for today, I found an article that said if 80% of the New Year's resolutions will end by February, which to me I think is pretty generous. I think we can all relate to saying we're going to eat better only to eat some great dip on the first and completely blow that one out. But I'm here to tell you that if my resolution is to love God and others as much as I love myself, I'm going to fail at 12:01 a.m. tonight. And here's the thing, I'll be sleeping. For those of you who do not know the Mobleys, and our community group can attest to this, we're a family that likes to be in bed around 9 p.m., plus or minus, really just minus 2 hours. I mean, our kids go down at 6, 7, and oftentimes we may be in bed by 8:30. I mean, I knew when I married Lauren, my wife, that I was marrying an early riser, but little did I know I was marrying someone who, when teaching middle school, would get up at 4 a.m., to get on the treadmill and run 45 minutes, get ready for work, get a coffee, and be at school by like 6 o'clock before the doors even open at 7. And I heard today that Jim gets up at like 3 and works out and then does his thing too. So if you want to talk about New Year's resolutions, I mean, there you have it. But the point is, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, saved from my sin and brought to new life in him, I will still fail the commandment to love others when left to my own devices. And the key is just that, when left to my own devices. New Year's always seems to be the opportune time to ask what I can do and how I can change. But if we're honest, this I'm going to do it, I'm going to earn it mentality is a battle we fight day in and day out from January to December, from 2016 to 2017, 2018, and beyond. And sadly, I think we would all agree that despite our best efforts and attempts, we always seem to fall back to our old ways. This morning, we need to ask a different question. Instead of contemplating what I can do by my own power, what if I was empowered? What if instead of a daily grind, I experienced a daily outpouring? The Apostle John appears to give us a key to our dilemma in 1 John 4:19, and it's so short and so sweet that literally if you miss it, if you blink, you're going to miss it. And so we're going to read it twice. But he says this, and this is literally the entire verse. We love because he first loved us. Again, we love because he first loved us. John doesn't specify what type of love, a certain time or place, or where it's going. The fact is simply that we love because he, being God, first loved us. The only way that we, as sinful beings, can effectively love God and others is by the outpouring of love that he has for us. And what is this love? I mean, our culture loves to use this word freeingly for almost everything. I mean, consider that we use this word love for those that are closest and dearest to us, those passions and desires that fuel us in this life, yet also we use it for the pimento bacon cheese dip that we hopefully all get to indulge on tonight. I mean, we literally use it for every spectrum of our life. Love. I love this. I love her. I love that. I love that movie. But this love that John speaks of seems to be different. So what is it? Well, he tells us early in chapter 4, verse 10, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This love is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we were born enemies of God, entangled and entrapped by sin. No matter the effort, we continuously turned away and rejected him. That Jesus, despite his perfection in eternity, came to dwell among us as a poor and homeless man. That Jesus, despite his perfection while on earth, was sentenced to the death of the worst criminal by being nailed to a cross. That Jesus, despite dying, rose again, conquering death, and appeared to many. That Jesus, despite being on earth after his resurrection, ascended back to heaven. That Jesus, despite doing this, will return again to conquer sin and evil for eternity. That because of Jesus, I, despite being God's enemy, am now his cherished son and daughters in this room. That I, despite my worst sins, have been made anew through Christ. That I, despite my weak flesh, now have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. That I, despite deserving death and separation from God for eternity, am now alive and secured for eternity to live in the presence of God. Vintage Church, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the love that God has for us. And as John says, first, God loved me despite me hating him enough to send his Son to die for me. And secondly, I am now empowered to love him and others through the love that he has for me. It honestly doesn't get any better than this. So to tie this back to our big idea going into 2018, imagine it this way. I'm an engineer. I love analogies, so bear with me. First, we're all like the milk cartons that we used to drink at school. If you were cool, you had chocolate milk. Anybody have chocolate milk in this? Everybody grew up drinking chocolate milk? I know we got some kids in the room too. Chocolate was the best. If you were weird, you had strawberry like me. You can put me in the strawberry camp. Anybody here at the strawberry? It was so delicious. Here's the thing. During research for these pictures, I found that they now make vanilla shake flavor. Which, if that doesn't motivate you to get up and go to school, I literally don't know what else will. I mean, that literally sounds delicious. But the big idea is we are these small, half pint, little paper containers of chocolate milk or vanilla or strawberry. And God's love for us is like, and the key word is like, the Niagara Falls. And I have some pictures here, but has anyone here in this room been to the Niagara Falls? Anybody had that privilege? You'll be the first to say, and I will too, do these pictures do justice to what the Niagara Falls really are? No, they don't. I tried to put a picture with the boat in there so you could see something to scale. But those waters are so ferocious. They're so powerful. They're so big and they're so overwhelming. I mean, when that boat is approaching, it's probably a quarter mile away. But when you get on the boat and you're about a half mile out, you can already start to feel the wind and the rush and the mist. And the boat can only go so close, because if it gets too close to those waters, it's literally going to encapsulate. It's going to sink. But God's love for us is like, and the key word is like, because every analogy fails. It's like the Niagara Falls. And so if we, being those milk cartons, are placed under those falls, what happens? We get filled up. We would be saturated. We'd probably even be crushed. But everything around us would also be engulfed with the water. But the key is, it's not by our doing. The milk carton is not watering everything around it. The Niagara Falls is doing that. Everything around us would be saturated by the Niagara Falls' doing. In other words, once we come face to face with God's love and we accept it, we're overwhelmed with this love, and there's no way that it could be contained just to us. In return, all those around us are beneficiaries of God's love to and through us. As a result of God's love for us and this love alone, we can have no response to him but love and worship for what he has done in our life. And secondly, we want to share this good news with others. The primary vehicle being love, which pours out of us because we're so oversaturated with it. And so to wrap this up, first, part of knowing and living the gospel entails encountering and being showered by the love that God has for us, made known through Jesus Christ. There may be some in this room, follower, doubter, seeker alike, that have not yet truly experienced the love that God has for you. My prayer, Vintage's prayer, would be that above all else, you would come face to face with this love, you would encounter this love, and you would either, one, choose to at least investigate it. I mean, if what we said about Jesus earlier, if there's a chance, if there's a remote chance that's even true, isn't it at least worth your investigation? I'm not trying to condone blind faith or just coming to faith for no reason, but at least investigate it. Or secondly, if you're at that point and you feel like you do know Jesus, but you haven't yet experienced that love, just submit your life to it. Jesus is worth following with every ounce of you that's inside of you. He's worth that. But we have multiple avenues to help along this journey. But we consider you start first with our Sunday services, hence our idea of Stick Six, like we talked about earlier. And secondly, our community groups, which are small groups of people who meet throughout the week and practically walk out the gospel. We believe Sunday brings conviction, and community groups are a great way to meet with others to hash out how you felt like God spoke to you and how we can practically apply that to our lives. If you feel like this is you, please speak to anyone after the service, and we'd love to hear your story and start walking on this journey with you. Secondly, part of bridging the gap from knowing and living the gospel to actually advancing the gospel is loving others. We can get into initiatives, programs, and classes, but the foundation of it all is sharing the love that God has for us with those that he's placed in our lives. It's funny, coming out of college and moving to Charlotte, and when I was younger, I was very big on apologetics and just arguing and trying to convince other people to join Christianity and believe in Jesus. I thought that if I said the right things and if I beat them down enough, not like actually beat them down, but if I just talked to them so much about Jesus and convinced them, they would eventually, you know, want to come to faith in him. And Lauren and I had the amazing privilege of leading a community group in our church back in Charlotte. And in that group was a man named Douglas. Now, Douglas was, I hope I don't offend him, but I'm guessing he was in his 50s. He was a single, hardworking man, loved Jesus, and he was surrounded by people in their 20s and early 30s, and he had a community group leader that was at the ripe and wise age of 22 years old, and they were so lucky to be in his presence. I'm telling you, they would come and just glean wisdom and walk away and change the world. And can you guess who that leader was? I think I already told you earlier. It was me. And whenever we would get worked up, or I would get worked up about apologetics and let's make sure we can say the right things and do the right things, and what if we did this program and what if we started doing this at church, Douglas would always just sit back in the chair, cross his arms, and just lovingly shake his head and smile and say that it all starts with loving others in the most simple of ways. It all starts with loving others in the most simple ways. And I'm here to tell you, when I heard that for the first couple times, it's like the spiritual boxing gloves came on. I was ready to go at it with Douglas. And I was like, Douglas, you just don't get it, man. It's not just about love. We need to be able to say the right things and do the right things. And we need to be into apologetics and arguing. But the longer that I've lived, the more that I've walked through in life with other people, I've come to see that Douglas was right. No doubt, knowing the gospel well and being able to put it into words, to have a reason for the hope within us, is important. But oftentimes, those open doors are made possible by the love and the relationships that we have built with people. The foundation of sharing the gospel, of advancing the gospel, is relationships. And the best relationships are built on love. Vintage Church seems to nail this on the head with the love one lifestyle. And you'll hear us talking more about that in 2018. But the big idea is, what if we, as individual people, just love one person? Just one person. What would that look like? Oftentimes, we're tempted to look to churches and nonprofits and businesses and schools and governments to care for those around us. But at the end of the day, no one walks as intimately through the lives of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, even your local coffee barista like you do. In other words, Jesus' command in Matthew 22 to love others as ourselves starts simply by looking around at those he's already placed in your life. I could get a lot into what your loved one could look like, but first, I don't want to limit the possibilities. And secondly, I don't want to make this about us. I don't want to make this, here are the three ways you can do your loved one, and here's some three steps you can follow. Like we've seen, the temptation always is around this New Year's time. I just want us to act in obedience to what God would do through us, both individually as we love one, and corporately as a church with its foundation built on the body's members effectively loving others. However he moves, whatever he decides, I'm good with it, and I just want to be obedient. Remember, we're simply vessels with God's love moving through us. Everywhere we go, the love of Christ should come with us. Let the love of God pour out like the Niagara Falls as it saturates us and overflows to others. Let us radically love others by first experiencing the love that Jesus has for each one of us. As we enter the new year, I'm challenged to rely on Jesus more than myself and to be led by his Holy Spirit and to help me to effectively love those in my lives, to partake in the advancement of the gospel. Will you join me as we enter 2018? Let's pray. Lord, we simply thank you. We thank you for the immense love that you have for us, despite the fact that we continuously turned away from you. I pray that we would all encounter Jesus Christ and come face to face with your love that we cannot contain. Let this love overflow from us in such a way that it saturates every arena of our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to be obedient to your movement, to love those you've placed in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to join you in the advancement of your gospel starting in our neighborhoods and extending to the world. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen.